The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You're listening to Monday's edition of the podcast where we have racing to look forward to from Lingfield, Musselburgh and Wolverhampton. You'll hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. on Monday afternoon. Sam Norris here, and joining me on today's edition of the podcast is Ross Briley to look ahead to some of the action. How are you today, Ross?
I'm very well, Sam.
Good stuff.
I am very well. I've just had a coffee, so yes. I am buzzing.
And Andy Murray's putting a bit of a fight back in the tennis as we record.
He was last I saw. Yeah, at the moment it's I keep looking up and things change rather dramatically.
Well, that's how tennis works, really. I mean, it does tend to change as it goes on.
Yeah, true. But what I'll do is I'll look up and go, oh yeah, he's fought back, and I'll look down. I'll look at a couple of races. I'll look back up and go, oh, he's lost the last two. He's completely got no chance. And I look back down, and then I look back up and go, oh, he's fought back again.
Yes.
So I mean,
toing and froing.
Yeah, the William Hill in play markets must be ridiculous.
Yeah, I certainly do not envy the tennis traders. It must be horrible to trade in play on tennis. But Monday's racing.
Racing's a little bit easier to predict.
Yes, maybe. I'm glad you're doing the predicting, not me anyway. We had a good weekend of racing, Ross, as we always do on a Saturday. A couple of, as you mentioned just there off air, a couple of maybe non superstars that are trying to throw their hat in the ring a little bit for Cheltenham.
Yeah, we've had a couple of Saturdays where horses who are, you know, favourites, second favourites, third favourites for big races turning up and battling it out. Hurricane Fly versus Jezky, and horses like Safia de Ruhr, you know, World Hurdle, Genuine Challenges, things like that. This Saturday was more a kind of, let's see what comes out of the pack.
Yeah.
And by no stretch of the imagination can you possibly, you know, it'll come to March, and one of the horses that ran yesterday on Saturday might well go in a big race, and you go, oh well, you know, before he won this race in January he had no chance, but yeah, you know, that threw down a challenge. So horses that are improving at this time of year are definitely worthy of respect. And yeah, you're right, there was a few of them. The juvenile hurdle at Sandown was quite intriguing. I'm always a little bit wary of juvenile hurdles at Sandown because it's such a testing track in heavy ground that I'm not entirely sure how much of a pointer it is to Cheltenham, because it's just such a different test, really. But Pana Chocolat was pretty impressive. He was a keen goer. He's got form on slightly better ground as well. He's won his last two at Plumpton and Sandown. And interesting, they went to Plumpton, because of course if you win at Plumpton, I think that might be just novice chasers, but there's definitely some sort of bonus scheme with Plumpton. And it wasn't that much of a competitive juvenile hurdle the other day, but he beat two solid horses in the St. James and John Joe O'Neill's and Old Guard from Paul Nichols, and he beat them pretty soundly. He's got sort of, I think he's about 25-33-1 for the Triumph Pan of Chocolat, but that might underestimate him a bit. And plus, they're not forced to go for the Triumph. They could just as easily go for the Fred Winter, and in that, he would have a massive chance.
Would that be the one that you'd be campaigning him at? Would you be looking to run him in the Fred Winter as opposed to the Triumph?
I think if I have a horse who I think has a chance at all of winning the Triumph, I would run him in it.
Okay, yeah.
Because with young horses, they improve so quickly, and I don't think the Triumph is a race you want to be running scared of.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
The Fred Winter offers horses that would have been 50, 66 to 1 and might have run on into a place or 5th or 6th in the Triumph.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Gives them a chance to take advantage.
Okay, fair enough.
I would definitely run him in the Triumph because, like I said, he's got that cruising speed and he's got the experience as well. And he's won his last two, and that is a key thing. Going into the Triumph off the back of wins,
yes,
is a massive plus.
No, fair enough. He's a 20-1 shot at the time recording with us here for the Triumph hurdle. Of the others on Saturday, Ross, who else caught the eye? Jitanda Burleigh won the Sicily Isles Novices Chase in pretty nice fashion over at Sandown.
Yeah, bit of a surprise. I think it was a bit of a surprise to everyone to an extent. I mean, she went off 92. She wasn't that much of a surprise, but not entirely convinced about the race. The favourite, Champagne West, has thrown in a niggly jump every now and then in his runs over fences, and he threw in more than a niggly jump as he fell on Saturday. So it was kind of left to Gitana Burleigh and an Irish Saint, who wasn't that fluent himself. Irish Saint is a bit of a stayer, and he needs to be. He's the kind of horse that, if two or three from home, if he's in contention, he will start to motor. Unfortunately, he couldn't quite get into enough of contention to challenge Willie Mullins' charge. And interesting that, you know, people have been slating Willie Mullins, saying he can't train chasers and all this, and his runners that he sends over have been disappointing over fences and stuff, and suddenly that's blown out of the water. It's amazing. As soon as people start going, is there a trend here?
Yeah.
It gets obliterated.
Yeah, fair enough.
But she got in a really good rhythm. It's just placing her at Cheltenham. That's going to be the problem, because Willie Mullins has so many challenges for so many races. She'll probably go for the JLT, but I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with her. I don't think they might not even go to Cheltenham.
Yeah.
This punches down.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think there's any rush necessarily. And Vautour, you know, is more than likely to go for the JLT, so are they going to want to take on their stablemate? It was, again, an impressive performance, and a mare on the up. She's won her last two. She's won a Grade One. She's obviously now an incredibly valuable breeding prospect for going forward, and she's clearly on the up. I think she might struggle to find a place at Cheltenham. And the same goes to the other impressive graded winner at the weekend as well, Ned Stark. Well, that said, he's not going to be a Grade One runner by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
He's going to be involved in valuable handicaps, listed and graded handicaps. So, and there'll be plenty of them. You know, he's not going to be winning the RSA, but he might well be winning the 3-mile handicap chase, which was the William Hill a couple of years ago, and that Alan King does really well in, horses like Ben Salem in the past. And an experienced yet unexposed novice is always valuable in those events. So Ned Stark's interested for handicaps. Gitana de Burleigh might struggle to find a place, and Pana Chocolat's an outsider for the Triumph. But they've all got chances. It's not completely crazy to suggest that one of them might pick up a prize.
Okay.
But in comparison to the other Saturdays, there's no sort of, wow, this is a real superstar. But you need those. You need those Saturdays as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right, you are. We'll move on then to take a look at some of Monday's action. We picked out three races on Monday, two from Lingfield and one from Wolverhampton. We'll start at Lingfield with the 250. This one, Maiden Stakes. And it says on here that the trip is a mile and a yard. I suspect it's not. I suspect it's a mile and one furlong. A mile and one yard.
No, well...
Or is it a mile and a yard?
Probably.
That sounds... Well, yeah, there you go then. It's a mile something anyway.
That yard could make all the difference.
Yeah, you
can
have horses that can't win at a mile but can win at a mile and a yard. Yeah, that sounds real. Eight runners line up to contest at this maiden. Who catches the eye, Heros?
Sorry, just got to get... Yeah, the mile trip at Lingfield is just normally just says a mile and then in brackets, but yeah, you're right.
I don't even think it's an extended mile. It just literally says 1 mile, 1 yard.
Well, it is an extended mile, by literally the bare minimum.
Yes.
You're going to run a marathon? No, I'm going to run a marathon in a yard.
And a bit, exactly.
Oh, well done. You must be better than me. This is quite an open race. I think Wajet is going to be quite popular. Richard Hannah and Frankie Dettori, son of Raven's Pass, who made a really nice debut here back in January, over a mile and a yard. So, you know, he knows exactly how far he's got to go.
Knows about this trip.
When you point something out, you can't help but notice it now, can you? He was beaten a couple of lengths behind two Godolphin horses trained by Charlie Appleby, who both one had good experience and one was a nicely bred newcomer. So it was a very decent start. He was a little bit green early on. He then got up there from the outset and faded behind two better rivals, really. The problem is he might run into a couple of Godolphin horses again here. Leon Cavallo is of interest, son of Cape Cross, who made two half-decent runs on turf. But he was beaten a fair old way on both of those. But it's amazing how horses who are inexperienced for turf as a two-year-old suddenly come back in an all-weather race like this. And find that hey, this is so much easier.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stick with Sperrin, who's the other Godolphin horse. Hopefully will be an each-way price, because he's been beaten a fair old way in two runs as well. But he's looked a little bit green himself in two runs. He's been ridden by Cal Hardy and Kevin Stott in his two starts. He's got William Carson, a slightly stronger jockey in the saddle. Well beaten on debut, but that Jack Hobbs race at Wolverhampton last time out is a cracker. And Jack Hobbs is a real horse to take a strong note of. That horse did an incredible amount wrong on debut, was backed into even money on his debut, and bolted up. The second's won, the third's won, the fourth's won. You don't really get better form than that. And Sperrin was trapped wide with Jack Hobbs as well, then lost his place, dropped back, and then stayed on again. He's by Dabawi at Speciosa, who, of course, won the Guineas for Pam's Life a few years ago. So has the breeding to go well in future. And all of Speciosa's progeny so far have just taken a little bit of time to find their feet. People are probably looking at it and think handicap project, you know, with two runs already. But Charlie Hobby's not. They don't. Mm. They just want him to win. And this is pretty weak if you look at the rest of the runners. So if you can get, if there's eight runners and you can get anything above 4-1, I think Sperrin's a great each way bet.
Okay, fair enough then. Sperrin in that Lingfield 250 for us then. We'll stay at Lingfield for the next race, and it's the next race on the card, the 320. This one, Philly's handicap ran over a mile and a yard.
Yep, all that ever important yard.
Indeed.
go the extra yard, Sam, that's what I'm telling you.
Exactly, yeah. Hopefully there's more mile and yard specialists in the field. Eight of them lining up for this one. And anyone jumping off the page here?
Yes, the top one, Semeral. Absolutely love this filly. Absolutely love her. She's fantastic. She's not really run a bad race at all since entering handicaps. The one bad race she did run was over almost a mile and a half at Yarmouth, which was far too much of a test for her. But she's got this, yeah, she's got this air of a real polytrack mile specialist, or a mile and a yard specialist, obviously.
Yeah.
she tends to get herself in a bit of a pickle every now and then, because she's a hold-up horse who travels strongly and always runs in competitive mile races on the all-weather. She seems to find sometimes not self-destruct, but find almost make life difficult for herself. When she won on a penultimate start, she beat History Book in rock-solid form and kind of weaved left, weaved right, and quickened up whilst going left and right as well. I mean, she's got real... her handling is excellent, as it were, if she was a car.
Yeah.
Her runs over a mile on the polytrack so far are first, third, second, first, third, and she's just not been beaten far in any of them. And again, last time out behind Jack of Diamonds, she just never really got the best of runs at the best of times, but she got beat by Jack of Diamonds, who's held his form since, and Razor Wind, who won next time out and then ran well off a mark of 92 the other day. So again, that form's just absolutely bomb-proof. And I just love her. I just think she's great. And I think, again, eight runners, each way play. There's two or three horses who also stand out in terms of recent form. Bugangu ran behind a really nice type in Loyalty the other day, who's a horse who's got plenty of talent, drops down the weights, bursts back to life, goes up in the weights, loses his way, and just goes through that for the rest of his life. But she almost made all the running the other day, didn't quite get home. And Bint Dandy as well, who ran behind a talented horse over seven and is stepping up here. And then you've got Kind Invitation for Charlie Appleby, who's coming back off a break. But three runs on the turf have not produced anything, but did win its debut on the all-weather. So she is of serious respect, and she's the one I'd really be worried about. But I've got to stick with Semeral, because she's not let me down yet.
Okay, Semeral then for us in the 320 at Lingfield. It's over to Wolverhampton for the final race on the podcast today. The 5:10 at Wolverhampton. Condition stakes, 1 mile, 141 yards. So practically freak distance compared to the ones we've seen.
Yeah, this is a little bit further.
Yeah, the extended mile trip. Class 2 contest with six runners down to go to post. Not a bad race this for Wolverhampton.
Hey, don't you?
Well, I'm from Wolverhampton, so I'm allowed to moan about it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Nobody else can.
Can you moan about it in an incredibly Black Country accent, please?
My Black Country accent is not even as good as yours, Ross, and I'm supposedly from Wolverhampton.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Well, I'm not. I won't do it now. So I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to show you up.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, but this is the thing. For a Monday, bearing in mind I'm talking about three races.
It's a good race,
here.
I mean,
well, I've skipped a few other races at Lingfield and Wolverhampton as well, because I looked at them and thought this is just too good. I can't pick one out.
Yeah. Sure.
And this almost got on that list as well, because, again, yeah. as you said, it's a valuable contest. And 12 grand to the winner. The best horse in here is rated 112, yeah. which is, you know, we're talking high summer horses here in the shape of Graphic, who is the one I'm going to stick with. But there is a lot of horses in here with chances as well. Chucky Royale won this race last year and is very much an all-weather specialist. Listed win around here at Wolverhampton as well. Loves this track. Clearly respected, as is Solar Deity, who's another all-weather specialist, but just struggling to win, really. He hasn't won since November 2013. He's gone up to mark in the hundreds, and he's just found himself pressed up to a glass ceiling, really. He can't find the races to really get his head in front, but he keeps picking up prize money and running well. And you've got Diacentric as well for Julie Camacho, who has had very little racing in the past couple of years, but about 18 months ago was a hugely progressive handicapper, so interesting to see if he gets back on the wagon. But Graphic is the best horse in this race. He's giving weight away, but that's because he's the best horse in this race.
Sure.
Last time we saw him, he finished third in a listed race over at Kempton, where he tried to make all the running, but the two that beat him were Sloane Avenue and Cladicera, and they both closed from the back, in complete contrast to the way Graphic ran his race. Now Sloane Avenue is going to go to America or Canada or something and pick up something decent for Jeremy Nazito. Yeah. I know you can just tell that that's the kind of horse. And Cladicera won a Group 2 at Maidan the other day in incredible fashion, just bolted up that day.
Yeah.
So I think that form's absolutely rock solid. And with a small field, Seb Sanders has got a good record on Graphic. If he gets into a rhythm out in front again, he could kick on and they could struggle to catch him. So I think Graphic, best horse in the race. And if Seb Sanders is canny on him and they don't rustle him up early, Graphic could lead all the way.
Okay, Graphic in that one for Ross, the penultimate race of the day at Wolverhampton. If you could just remind us, please, of your three best selections for Monday's racing.
Yeah, we'll go for Sperrin in the 250 at Lingfield. Semeral is the pick in the 320, and Graphic in the 510 at Wolverhampton.
Excellent stuff. There we are then, thoughts of Ross Briley on William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. And do join us from 1:20 p.m. on Monday afternoons. Catch all of the racing from Lingfield, Musselburgh and Wolverhampton as well. Thank you very much for joining me, Ross, and good luck with your bets on Monday.
Thanks, Sam. Have a nice life.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.